Can you believe that it's the last Sunday of June? Whew, man. How many are ready for school to start again? Jada, are you ready? Oh, Jesus. Don't even, just rebuke that thought right now, huh? In Jesus' name, don't even go there. Oh, man, it's hard. Summer is here. June is done almost. Next week, we're going to get into July. We're going to start a new series, but today, we're going to do our final sermon in the series that we've been doing through the month of June called Men of Honor. And hope you've enjoyed it. Today, or last Sunday, actually, we celebrated Father's Day. And I spoke about a dad in the Bible who was asked to do a very difficult thing. His name was Abraham. And Abraham followed everywhere God led him. That was the whole thought of last week. Everywhere God led him, he was willing to go. Everything that God asked him to do, he was willing to do. To completely trust God, here it is, to trust God with the outcomes. Have anybody had anything this week where you had to trust God with the outcome of something? You didn't see how it was going to work. You didn't know how it was going to turn out. All you had to do, the only thing you could hold on to was that God said he has it in control, and you had to choose to trust him, right? Wave at me. Okay. So today, I want to finish this series. I've entitled my sermon today, Guarding Honor, to Guard Honor. And it's been interesting because for the last 3 weeks, we have highlighted different men in the Bible who have just really outstanding stories of how they live lives of honor for God. Today, I want to speak about someone who actually lost honor because they didn't guard their heart. And so my opening thought, here's the thought, the whole sum of the whole sermon. Get this right here, but you can't leave yet. You got to listen to the sermon, but honor is built over a lifetime. Over a lifetime, every single day, honor is built like block upon block. Honor, integrity, to be trustworthy, to be good for your word, to be able to be someone who have good reputation. Would you agree that that takes a lifetime to build? That's a never-ending process. Every day, we add to that piece of honor. But honor can be destroyed in a day. Let me say it again. Honor is built over a lifetime, but it can be destroyed in a day. In fact, I think all of us, we are only one decision away from destroying literally a lifetime of honor. And I think you would agree with me that once honor has been destroyed, it is not easily rebuilt. Would you agree with that? It can take a lifetime to build it, but it can be destroyed in a day. And once it has been destroyed or severely impacted, at least, it's very difficult to rebuild that. In fact, that's why we're told by a man named King Solomon in a book called Proverbs. He says this: above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Guard this, not the physical that beats in your chest, but the heart, the emotions, the very center of who you are, that which propels you forward, the heart of your life, how you make decisions, what you chase after, your dreams, your hopes, your ambitions, the heart of your life. Guard that, because from your heart, it directs our steps. In fact, Jesus said it this way, as recorded in Matthew. Jesus said, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. So both Solomon and Jesus emphasized this issue of what's in our heart. And I believe that the foundation of godly honor is established at the heart level. When our heart is surrendered to Jesus, when our heart is pointed to him, when our heart is pursuing a relationship with him, the result is godly honor. But when our heart is unguarded and opened to the assault of the enemy, the result is a loss of honor, or what we say, dishonor. So today I want to talk just for the next moments about how do we guard our heart, this issue of guarding the honor that we carry, that we build over a lifetime. Let's start with some prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, for the next few minutes, God, I pray that your thoughts would be my thoughts, your words would be my words. And Father, help us. Help this to be more than just a sermon that we hear and that we listen to, but God, help it to impact us literally at a heart level. Help us, Father, to have ears to hear, to receive what you have for us, so that when we leave here and we go back to our homes and we go back to our jobs and we go back to our daily lives, that God, we do that with this thought in mind to guard our hearts. It's what you instruct us to do in your word, and we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, I want to go to another story in the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. So many awesome stories, Stan, that we go to. And so there's a story of a man in the Old Testament who unfortunately didn't guard his heart. And this man, it's interesting as we take a look at the story, this man had just really pretty an unusual amount of God's presence in his life. The Spirit of God would come upon him, and he could do supernatural feats, very physically strong. When the Spirit of God would come upon him, he had this supernatural strength, and he did some things that's almost, it's hard to imagine what he was able to do when God came upon him. And so here he's carrying the Spirit of God, operating in his life in literally supernatural ways. But because he didn't guard his heart, he forfeited the honor which God extended to him. So let's take a look at the story. We're going to be in a book called Judges, chapter 16. That 16th chapter of Judges is kind of dedicated to this man that I want to talk about. His name is Samson. So let's take a look. In Judges 16, 1 through 3, one day Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. And he went in to spend the night with her. The people were told, Samson is here. So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn we will kill him. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up, took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts, tore them loose, bar and all, lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. It's interesting. Here's, again, this guy. So he makes a decision. It all started for Samson one day. As I said in my opening, honor is built over a lifetime, but it can be destroyed in one day. One day, Samson looked, saw a prostitute, and made a decision. What he saw with his eyes, he took action on, and he chose to not guard his heart. So he goes in and he spends the night with the prostitute, but it becomes known, the people, you have to kind of see the pre-story. Samson caused a lot of problems for the Philistine people. He was always doing things to upset them, and so they were looking for an opportunity to even the score. They wanted to get back at Samson for all the things that he had done before. And so when they found out that he was in town and he was in this certain house, we see in this story that the first they come and they surround the house. And they look for an opportunity not to just slap his hand, but they had one thing in mind, and it was to take him out, to take his life. They wanted to do nothing else but to kill Samson. And they said, here's our chance. He's in this house. We're going to go in here. We're going to seize the moment. We're going to take his life. When the sun comes up, his life is over. And it's interesting as I look at this story that Samson wakes up at some point in the middle of the night, leaves before the morning, before they have opportunity to kill him. He leaves, and as he leaves, he grabs a hold of the city gate. And it's interesting, here he made a bad decision. He made a choice. One day, he made a choice to pursue what he thought would bring fulfillment to him. He thought, this will bring satisfaction. I'm going to go here. He had his heart open. He didn't guard his heart. He goes in. But as he's there, I believe that possibly God woke him up. And could it be that God extended mercy to him in that he had this supernatural power to grab a hold of the city gate, grab it, bar and all, put it up on his shoulder, and walk to the top of the hill? That was not in his own strength. That was in the power of God. It's an interesting story, right off from the beginning. So Samson is here. I believe that there may be some here today that maybe you've made a bad decision. Maybe you feel like God has given up on you. Maybe you feel like you're beyond the point where, you know, Bill, I've done too much water under the bridge. I can't expect God to give me mercy. Can I say that, yes, God is both just and he is also merciful. Just means that he does have to judge sin. But the Bible says, in addition to that, his mercy endures forever. That's in the book of Psalms. I think it's possible that even though Samson made a bad choice and he went, I believe that God had mercy and that God extended mercy to him and enabled him to be able to escape. Now, it's interesting as we look at the first part of the story that we see it's very evident the intent of the enemy. One intent of heart was to kill him, to take his life. Jesus said it this way: the enemy comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. The enemy's one purpose in mind was to literally take Samson's life, to kill him, to destroy him, to steal from him God's plan for his life. And as we look at this, we apply that to us today. We don't maybe have a physical enemy, but it's very clear that we have a spiritual enemy who has one intent, and that is to steal, kill, and to destroy, and he loves nothing more than an unguarded heart. Let's go on in the story here. Judges 16, verses 4 through 5. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman whose name was Delilah. Now the rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him." Well, evidently, it's unfortunate that Samson evidently didn't learn a lesson from the previous experience. The encounter with the prostitute and being able to escape there unharmed evidently didn't register at a heart level, because now he falls in love with someone who has made herself available to be used of the enemy to again destroy him. And he has this openness in his heart. And Samson doesn't learn the lesson. He falls in love with Delilah. The Philistines make an agreement to lure Samson into showing the secret of his great strength. And again, it's very clear. We see the intent of the enemy. We see the purpose of what the enemy was setting out to do. He wanted to destroy Samson. There was an opportunity. And when we leave our heart unguarded, we provide opportunity for the enemy to, what they wanted to do, overpower and subdue. Well, the Apostle Paul helps us with this a little bit in a book called Ephesians. Writing to the church of Ephesus, Paul says, "Do not give the devil a foothold." What's a foothold? A foothold is an opening. It's an opportunity where we've left our heart open, unguarded. And the enemy is allowed to come in and, so to speak, get his foot in the door of our heart, so he has access, and it's like he can pull the string anytime he wants in that area. I'm not going to ask you to tell me, but can you see, is there an opening in your heart this morning where the enemy of our soul has access, where he's able to put his foot in and bring you to a place that you would rather not go? Would you agree with me? I've said it many times, that sin will always take us farther than we want to go. Is that true? So many times, even in my own life, in the lives of friends, different ones that I've been around, maybe it's not been said, but there's been a thought at some point, well, I can go this far and I'll be okay. But the nature of sin is bondage. The nature of sin is captivity. Jesus said that we become slaves to sin. The areas that we open our hearts to, we literally become slaves in that area. We are controlled. In fact, the Bible goes a step further. It says that there is pleasure in sin for a season. But oh, when the season comes to an end, that's when we experience the slavery and the bondage. In your notes here, sorry I didn't refer to, but on the back of your bulletin, there's a place to write some notes in. Let me catch us up here this morning. The first one was my opening thought here. Honor is built over a lifetime, but can be destroyed in a day. Now, the second point in your notes here is simply, we cannot play with sin and guard our hearts, if you want to write that in. We cannot play with sin and guard our hearts. You see, with each opportunity, we don't have time to go through the whole story this morning, but if you were to continue to read in the 16th chapter of Judges, you'll see where Delilah every day asks Samson, what's the source of your strength? What makes you so strong? What makes you so special? And you can see a progression where Samson, step by step, gets a little bit closer to the truth of his strength. And he tells her to do a variety of things, and she tries that, and he is able to wake up and do supernatural things, and she's getting mad at him and frustrated, and she said, you're making a fool of me. It's interesting, as Samson continues to play, so to speak, play with Delilah, and he's hinting at the source of his strength, and he's getting a little bit closer. It starts with, well, wrap me up in ropes and do this and that. And then he gets closer. Well, the fact, and I don't have time to explain this, but the issue was, in the Bible it says, as long as he didn't cut his hair, he had supernatural strength. Now, that's kind of an interesting thought. But if he didn't cut his hair, he had supernatural strength. If he cut his hair, he would lose that strength. In this story, he gets closer and closer and closer to the source of the strength. Delilah tests him. She lures out of him. She gets him to tell her different things, and he's kind of just playing around and hinting at things, and she tests him on it, and he still has the power of God to come upon him. Now, I can't say at what point God stops extending mercy. But listen clearly, it does say in the Bible that God will not always strive with man. In other words, there is a point. I don't know where that point is. You don't know. I can't judge. But there is evidently a point where God says, enough mercy, and it's time for a change. It's time for something to happen. Now, as Samson continues to move forward with Delilah, he actually does, it says here in Judges 16, verse 16, look at this with me. It says, with such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. Can anybody relate to that? Tired to death, day in, day out, the same thing. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It says, with such nagging, she prodded him day after day. Delilah, one thing you can say about Delilah is she's persistent. She didn't give up easy. Through daily prodding, she eventually wears him down. Just keep looking up here. Don't look at your left or your right. Don't elbow your husband or your wife. Just stay focused right here, all right? Oh, yes. She wears him down. Interesting, the description is that he is tired to death. Let me say this to us. The danger of fatigue is one of the primary avenues that the enemy utilizes to gain access to our hearts. Just tired. I mean, when we talk about the thought of being tired to death, that's not just a physical weariness. That's tired at a spirit, soul, and body level. Can anybody relate? I mean, you're talking about a tiredness that goes to the bone, a fatigue, and we are at risk when we are in a place of just being worn out, tired, and fatigued. One way that we are instructed in the Bible to guard our hearts is to observe what it calls a Sabbath. A Sabbath. The Sabbath rest must be more, listen to me, because we're in summer, the Sabbath rest has to be more than a two-week vacation once a year. If that's your rest, and you're trying to have everything be restored in a two-week run once a year, it's probably not going to happen. If you're like anything like us, usually the vacation, you need to rest from your rest. You get back from vacation, and it wasn't really restful. It was everything but that. So when the Bible talks about having a Sabbath rest, it's really talking about a weekly observance. And for that to happen, we must be intentional in setting time aside specifically for that purpose. I'm actually going to talk more about that next week. I'll give you a little more of that later. But we're going to talk about how can God help us with busyness. Would you all look up here and agree with me that we are a very busy people? Anybody that has more than one child, does one parent take one child here and another parent take the other child over there, and you find yourself going all over town to make sure all the kids get to the certain sports that they need to, when they need to, all the activities, all the school pieces, everything? Can anybody relate to an aspect of, does anybody feel busy? Okay, just check. I want to make sure I'm on track because that's next week's sermon. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Watch, when we choose to ignore the wisdom of Scripture, this thought about taking a Sabbath rest, when we choose to ignore that, then we essentially place ourselves in a place of an unguarded heart. Weariness just naturally puts us in a position where our heart can become unguarded. And the enemy loves an unguarded heart. Let's go on in the story here, Judges 16, verses 19 through 20. Now, Delilah has persisted, nagged him day in, day out, and he's so tired that he finally tells her the source of his strength. He finally fesses up. He admits it. Now, watch what happens. Verse 19 says, having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he woke from his sleep and thought, I will go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. That is the saddest part of the whole story, that God's presence can leave us and we not even know it. We go on about our daily business. We rise up, we shake ourselves, we do what we do, and not even realize that God has departed from us. That's a very sad reality, but that's ultimately where an unguarded heart leads us, is to the loss of God's presence, of His Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord left him, but he did not know it. So Delilah recognizes that Samson has finally opened his heart, and she puts him to sleep on her lap. Here he is, this mighty man of God, strong. The power of God comes upon him. He is worn out, tired to death, lays his head on her lap, and he's asleep. And when he's asleep, he is in a place of vulnerability. He is vulnerable now to the enemy's attack. And what happens? The enemy comes in and they cut off one lock of his hair at a time. And that's exactly how it happens in our lives. Is it's one step, one decision, one day, one thing at a time that we get into a place of bondage. She says, Samson, wake up, and the Philistines are upon you. And he thinks in his mind, I'm going to do what I've always done. I'm going to come up and take a hold of this situation. And unfortunately, he's not able to do this. In your notes, if you want to write this in, we become ensnared one decision at a time. Just one decision, one day, one choice, one thought, one look, one thing that opens our heart and it gets us going down a path that ultimately ends and results in a place where God leaves us and we don't even realize. For the sake of time, let me press on here. You know, Samson lost much more than his hair at this point when he lost God's presence. The psalmist King David said, take anything from me in this life, but God, don't take your presence from me. Take it all. Take the house. Take the car. Take whatever. Take the bank account. Take it all, God, but don't take your presence. Jesus said it this way, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul, loses God's presence in his... What does it profit if we gain everything materially, but we lose God in the process? Can I take it a step further? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and maybe loses the family, loses the ones that are the closest in the process? Now, sometimes that's well beyond our ability. We too, but I'm not saying that the man is necessarily at fault. But sometimes if we put so much focus on a career or on the things of life, and we can literally have the most important things in our lives slip away, and we don't even realize when it's happening. Let's get back here to the story. Judges chapter 16, verse 22, the story doesn't end here. Can somebody just say, thank Jesus, that's not the end of the story, Bill? Samson's taken into captivity. They literally blind him. They remove his eyes. They hook him up, chain him, and he's grinding grain in the center of town, bound to this, blinded. But something happens. Something happens. Look at verse 22. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Remember, the hair was the source of strength that as long as he had the hair. Now, it's interesting. He's shaved, loses strength, but the hair starts to regrow. And so here he is grinding grain. But the heart of God, watch this, God is a restorer. Now, I'm looking out in the audience, and I can't explain to you why some of you, God has not restored your hair. I'm so sorry about that. Go get some Rogaine and pray over your head and say, Jesus, you know, Terry, I'm so sorry that God didn't restore you. I mean, you know, yeah. Some of you, when you fall asleep in my sermon, it's like the moon is setting. I can see the head, and the lights hit your head, and then, oh, there's the sun rising again. Oh, now the moon's coming. God is a restorer. There's a tremendous promise in the Bible. I'm going to give it quickly here. In a book called Joel, chapter 2, God makes this promise. I will restore the years that have been lost. Is there anybody here that just feels, Bill, I just feel like I've lost so much time? It's those thoughts, it's like that place of regret where you start thinking back. You're sitting in the chair and you start to think back, if I just had it to do over again, if I could just go back and make a change, if I can make a different decision, if it was Samson, maybe Samson thought as he was going around blinded, chained to the mill, maybe he was, I don't know, but maybe he was thinking, if I just had that day to do over again, when I saw the prostitute, instead of going there, I turned the other way. That one day was pivotal. I just wish I had that to do over. I don't know your story. I know my story. I think about it. And sometimes if I'm not careful, it's easy to get just downright depressed about thinking of the missed opportunities if I just had it to do over again. But God makes this promise. He says that he will restore those lost years. The hair on Samson's head, his head starts to grow again. God is able, watch this, God is able to restore even that which has been taken away by our own choosing. Nobody else was at fault but Samson alone. Samson made the choice. Samson made the decisions. He got what he deserved, but God's a restorer. Is anybody thankful? Yeah. Let's pick up the story here now. Judges 16, verse 28. Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign Lord, remember me, O God, please strengthen me just once more." It was at that moment that Samson turned his heart back to God. Samson comes back to God. "O God, hear my prayer. O sovereign God, just give me strength once more. One more time, God, hear my cry." Now, I've said in my opening that God, or honor can be destroyed in a day. We all agree to that, right? It's built over a lifetime. Honor can be destroyed in a day. But in your notes, write this down. God is bigger than the day. It can be destroyed in a day, but God's bigger than that day. Somebody say amen. Absolutely. God is bigger than the day. I hinted a little bit ago about what I'm going to go to in the month of July. In fact, praise team, Josh and others, join me back up here if you would. But next month, in the month of July, of course, next week, we celebrate the 4th of July. Is anybody thankful for our nation? Is anybody appreciative that we live in the country that we live in? That we experience the freedom at a great cost? Many have laid down their lives to enable us to be able to live in this country that's free. And each year we do in recognition, we recognize on the 4th of July our independence as a nation. But a question for us today, what about freedom in your life? We have freedom in a country, we experience. But next week I want to start this series. We're going to talk about freedom from busyness, and that I consider to be the daily destroyer, when we're just so busy, like Samson, who just experienced fatigue, weariness, spirit, soul, and body. I'm going to talk next week about how God has a plan and can help us with just daily living as we experience extreme busyness. The next week, we're going to talk about freedom from guilt. Maybe there are some here today that, as you've heard the story of Samson, you've just thought, "Bill, wow, I'm living out the consequences of some decisions that I made, and I feel guilty and I feel shameful. I don't want anybody to know about the decisions." Well, next, that second week of July, we're going to talk about how to be free from an emotional tyrant that's called guilt, that can rob the joy of Jesus from our lives quicker probably than anything else. Third week of July, I'm sharing this with you because I want you to pray with me about this, and I want you to ask and invite friends and family to come in. The third week of July, we're going to talk about freedom from addiction, and in all various forms. There's addiction in varieties of ways, but Jesus doesn't want us to be bound like Samson, blind, bound, going in circles. Addiction, that's the nature of addiction, blinds us, holds us captive, makes us go around in circles, and we become slaves at someone else's beckoning. Whenever they say go, we have to. That's the nature of addiction. When it says jump, we jump. When it says sit, God wants us to be free. He doesn't want us. Now listen, don't misunderstand this statement. Not only does God want us to be saved, he wants us to be free. And sometimes, many times, that doesn't happen all at the same time. We ask Jesus to be Savior, but then we walk out a process of experiencing God's freedom. I'm anticipating a powerful month in July of people experiencing freedom, spirit, soul, and body. But I'm asking you as a congregation to pray with me that the Spirit of God would show up in this place in a powerful way. The fourth week, we're going to talk about freedom from stress. It's similar to busyness, but has a different side to it, and I call this the silent killer, stress. It's been medically proven that many of our diseases, many of the things that we experience in our bodies, is as a direct result of the stress that we carry in our minds and our hearts. And then July, there's a fifth Sunday in July, and I have scheduled a very special guest speaker that you are not going to want to miss. In fact, this speaker, we've been trying to get this speaker now for 9 years. It's taken 9 years to get this speaker lined up. They have been in such high demand and request that I've literally had to plan 9 years in advance to finally get on July 29th this person. And of all the things, this person can stand up here and even the score. None other than my wife, Kelly, will be sharing with us about that. I was asked at staff meeting this past week, Pastor Bill, are you going to throw your shoe at her? And I said, well, I don't know. You're going to have to come July 29th and see what happens. But Kelly's going to share with us, and I think it's going to be a powerful month. I want you to invite your friends and family and coworkers and different ones. Maybe they wouldn't come to church any other time, but for a series that talks about experiencing the freedom of Jesus in their lives, maybe they'd be willing to come one Sunday out of the month or two or three and come and visit and experience more than just a good speech, but experience the actual power and presence of Jesus. Pray with me for that. Ushers, join me, would you please? I'm going to ask that the praise team lead us. What are you playing there, Josh? We're going to sing this chorus. I'm going to ask the ushers to help us just to serve you for our morning tithes and offering. If you're a guest with us this morning, I want to say thank you so much for being with us. We have a connection card in your bulletin. If you would, just check guest on there, drop it in the offering so that we can just say thanks for being here. We have a free gift for you out at the guest services if you'd like to pick that up on your way out. So, Father, in Jesus' name, bless this offering. We thank you for the faithfulness of people through the summertime. God, we thank you that you're meeting every need that we have. Just continue to bless this congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Lead us, team, if you would.
Sovereign in the mountain. Sovereign on the ocean floor, with me in the calm, with me in the storm. Sovereign in my greatest joy, sovereign in my deepest cry, with me in the dark, you're with me at the dawn. In your everlasting arms, all the pieces of my
hands, all of me, held in your hands. God, in Jesus' name, we put our faith in you. What we just sang, I can trust you. The great God, the God who restores, the God who frees, the God who saves, the God who brings us back into relationship. We can trust you. From beginning to end, God, you have every part of my life firmly in your hand. I thank you for that promise, Lord. As we leave this place, God, I pray just blessings, your peace, your presence, your grace, your wisdom to go with us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, help us to leave this place and guard our hearts. Keep our hearts directed to you. Guard our hearts as we leave, God, so that we can walk as people of honor. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And once again, everybody said, hey, I love you all. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you next Sunday.